Why don't you take your seats this morning? Band, if you want to head down, feel free to. As we open up God's word to us this morning. If you have a Bible, then open it up and you can go right down the very, very middle of it. Okay, right down the middle of your Bible. If you haven't got a Bible, there's loads out in the foyer. I won't mind if you want to go and get one and then come back in. So pretty much open your Bible straight in the middle, and you'll get to roughly where we're at. We're in Psalm 119, and we'll be looking at it from verse 129 in a couple of minutes. But first, I want to ask you the question that David asked us a couple of months ago. How many Bibles do you have in your home? I probably have too many to count between study Bibles, various translations and sizes. Even if you're someone who's relatively new to faith, chances are you're going to have a couple of Bibles in your house. Nowadays, there's also the internet. It takes seconds to look up a Bible verse, and like me, you probably have a smartphone which can have the Bible on it, so you've got it there in an instant. I use mine all the time. It's got study guides, videos, and hundreds of translations that are always there in my pocket at my fingertips until the battery runs out. At least. Now, I love that there's no longer a need to lug around a big, bulky book, and I can read it anytime, anywhere. We have easier access to God's word than we have ever had before. And yet, do we realize what an amazing treasure we have? As we heard earlier, the words that are in our Bibles are more precious than gold, than pure gold. After all, it says we read God's word that we can encounter him, the creator and savior of the world. So how do we respond to God when we read the Bible? How do we treasure God and his word? That's the key question that I want us to ask ourselves this morning as we get into the passage from Psalm 119. Now, I'd be pleased to know that we're not going to be looking at the whole of Psalm 119. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's 176 verses long, so it would take us quite a while to get through it. I saw a recording that lasted a whole hour when I was looking for this on YouTube. Now, if you read this chapter standalone, it's a brilliant celebration of the rest of the Bible. And throughout the psalm, the unnamed author reflects on how reliable and sufficient God's word is for us even today, whatever circumstances and seasons we might face in our lives. Almost every verse comes back to the Bible. For example, in the passage that we're going to look at today, it's referred to as his testimonies, his words, his commandments, his promise, his rules, his statutes, and law. I'm going to move over to the handheld microphone, if that's okay. I'll unhook myself properly in a moment. Sorry about that. Each of these words displays a different shade of meaning and reveals the richness of the way that God relates to each of us. Throughout the psalm, we're constantly drawn back to the truth and power of what God has said, and behind the words, the faithfulness of God himself. The great Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon, absolutely loved this psalm. He said that the more one studies it, the fresher it becomes. He claimed that it contains no idle word, and the grapes of this cluster are almost bursting full with the new wine of the kingdom. And he also said it contains within its depths an ocean of fire. And those who devoutly gaze into it shall not only see the brightness, but feel the glow of the sacred flame. Unsurprisingly, he also went on then to say that we'd be very good to commit this to memory. Now, I know it's a very long thing, but maybe that's your personal challenge that you'll take away from this. But this psalm is full of deep feelings and emotions. And I suppose as I looked into this, I was thinking, how many times do people say to us that the Bible's outdated or it's irrelevant, it's impersonal, or just for very specific people? Now, I'm here to share with you today that our Bibles aren't dry or dusty as our culture would often have it. Now, we're going to read the passage now together and taste that passion and excitement for scripture and for God ourselves. And I'd like to invite Sarah to come up and read to us from Psalm 119. And this is starting at verse 129. And we're going to read a few verses of it.
The passage can be found on page 592 of the Church Bibles. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed.
For the middlemost words of a book, it sure does have a lot of depth to it. And to help us unpack the psalmist's delight in the word of God, we're going to break this text down into four little sections, as you can see here. Delight, desire, determination, and distress. Now, normally, preachers make 3 points, so I've gone one better this morning for you. The first one we're going to look at is this idea of delight. Now, to use a different translation, this is from the ESV. I'm going to read it to you again. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. The psalmist starts this little section by sharing with us his delight in God's truths that are found in the Bible. He tells us of the evidence of God's power and loving, just and righteous, merciful character. When he says, my soul keeps them, we see that he really treasures these words that God has given now and forever. He then goes on to marvel at how the unfolding of God's words gives light and understanding. Perhaps you can remember a time when someone shared something from the Bible with you that was just the right thing at the right time to explain something that was going on in your life. The Bible is an incredible tool for shedding light on situations, and often your life experience and the world around you can make so much more sense than it might have done before. A quote that has stuck with me from Alpha comes from the great writer C.S. Lewis. He said this, I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. The writer of this psalm, just in the same way that C.S. Lewis did, sees that God's word that has been given to us in our Bible is an amazing tool to help light up our lives with fresh understanding of the world around us. Going on to the next little bit, thinking of desire, I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. So the Bible can be used to help light up our lives. So naturally, we should desire it more and more and more. Is that right? Because God's word is so good, the psalmist experiences this intense hunger for his commandments. He longs for God's instruction to be directed by him. We don't love the Bible as a book for its own sake. Sure, it's got lots of great stories in it, but because it's God's word, it comes alive when we read it. Through reading and following it, we can encounter God himself. I don't know about you, but I can't say that I hear audibly from God a huge amount. I can probably actually count on one hand the number of times that I have audibly heard God speak to me. And I'm okay with that. You know why? Because our Bibles are God speaking to us today. If someone shares a verse with you from the Bible, that's God speaking to you. We should be eagerly wanting to hear from God, as the psalmist is here, mouth open and panting. The psalmist here is longing to know how to please and glorify God in his life. Do we approach the word of God with the same desire that the psalmist has? I know for me that my time at university was when I really got a passion for reading the Bible. I can't deny that I found it hard. As I left for uni, I can't say that I really read the Bible all that much, if at all, outside of Sunday and those times that my parents kind of made us do it as we sat around the dining room table. But through studying the Bible with a great group of friends and setting a reminder each morning for me to even read just a verse or two, I began to appreciate God's word. I'll share a bit more about things that I found really useful for me a little bit later. But until then, we're going to move forwards with the next part of the passage, determination. Reading from the Message translation this time. Turn my way, look kindly on me, as you always do to those who personally love you. Steady my steps with your word of promise, so nothing malign gets the better of me. Rescue me from the grip of bad men and women so I can live your life. Smile on me, your servant. Teach me the right way to live. The psalmist here is showing his determination to put the desire to keep God's commands and please him into practice. That desire from the previous verses is coming through, and he's recognizing that he needs God's help to do this. He can see all of the stumbling blocks and difficulties that he might encounter. He asks for mercy. He asks that sin won't get the better of him. He asks that bad men and women won't get in the way of him from his relationship with God. And he asks for daily teaching to help him to live the right way. But when I read that passage again, I actually think we're presented with an even greater challenge. I think the psalmist is challenging us to consider how our thoughts and behavior are formed. Do we value what God says is good over and above the current values that our society holds? By painting the picture of us as God's servant, surely we should try to live by God's standards rather than what our world says we should live by. The last verse there, teach me the right way to live. How humble and teachable are we as we approach the Bible and all it has to say to us? Do we ask for God's help to learn and keep to his ways? And if so, are we actually willing to be changed by what is written in the Bible? Are we willing for our thinking to change by what the Bible has to say? Now, perhaps the final verse seems a little bit of a strange way for me to stop this passage. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. But it all kind of links together. In our society, being seen as tolerant of everyone and everything is so highly valued that often we kind of recoil away from appearing to impose our views on others, or even suggesting to people that we have found some magical better way of living than they have is often seen as crazy and deluded. And the last thing I'm sure that each of us as Christians here want to do is to come across as being superior or critical. But when we read the psalmist's words, streams of tears flow from my eyes, we don't get a sense of anger. He's not angry towards people. He's anguishing the state of people who are living in ignorance of what we have found in God's word. People who don't know God's ways can and do hurt themselves and others. I could share with you all sorts of stories that have come from friends who this has been the problem for, but actually, that's not what I'm here to do this morning. I'm sure you can think of situations yourselves where this has been the case. There's many times when I wish people would just come to know Jesus, as that would help out massively with their situation. The psalmist here sheds tears because people do not keep God's law. If we have a clear view of God as our Lord and Savior, I believe that we really should sorrow over the people who don't know God or his ways. The question for us this morning is also this: how will our distress motivate us to act? How can we help people to come to know God? If you found something that's really good, the loving thing to do is to share it with other people, to make others aware of it and pray that their eyes will be opened. I've cried for Christian friends. I've cried over friends who don't yet know Jesus. And ultimately, my journey has led me to be here this morning sharing this message with you. If the Bible didn't mean anything to me at all, then I can safely say that there's no way that I'd be standing up here right now. I wouldn't be standing in the public eye, and I wouldn't be wanting to share the good news of Jesus with the world. For me, the Bible is an inspiration. As I read more and more, as C.S. Lewis said, I find myself seeing and understanding things better than I ever had before this. As I said earlier, university was a really strong time for me when my passion to read the Bible really got going. I'd gone to church as a kid, and I'd read the Bible each week, and there was so much value in that. I'm not wanting to belittle it. But it was only when I really started reading the Bible for myself that I began to understand what the Bible has to say to me today in my life. I find that God speaks directly to me through what I read, and the number of times that my daily reading has provided perfect wisdom and inspiration into a specific situation is almost silly. Studying with friends in our house group really helps us to understand passages too. Sometimes these passages are incredibly tough, and to be able to share with one another what we think about it and work through it is a really big help. I'd love to encourage you all to get involved with house groups, and I know it's something that Tim is really passionate about, and as a church we're going to be really promoting them in the coming months. Another big help for me is having daily reading prompts. Lots of people here will use a phone for this. Mine pings every morning at 8:30. Now, you can set it as earlier if you wake earlier and later if that's also the case. But it pings 8:30 each morning with a reading for me and some inspirational words, otherwise known as a devotion. If you're a little more old school, then there's also other ways you can do it. Yvonne, where are you? Yvonne, stand up. Do a twirl. Got a lot of power here. You've got a lot of power. Yvonne sorts Bible study guides for lots of people in the church. If you want to get some daily readings that might help you to engage more with the Bible, then she is a great person to speak to. We are so blessed in our current era with so many different ways that we can engage with our Bibles. God has so much to say to us today through his word. And it's not boring. It's not irrelevant. It's not old. It's not dusty. Maybe you've really been struggling with the Bible recently. Maybe you haven't read it since last Sunday. And even then, it was because it was on the screens at the front of church. Maybe you read it every day because that's what you've always done. But it doesn't really mean anything to you anymore. Maybe you've come to the conclusion that the Bible is irrelevant or outdated, or maybe you're just feeling a little bit lost with it all. Maybe this morning is the right time to ask God to help us become more like the psalmist, treasuring God and his word, keeping his words in our souls. So today, let's ask God to increase our delight in him and his word. Let's ask God to increase our desire and our determination to keep his commandments and please him. And finally, let's ask God to increase our compassion for the lost, for those who don't know or acknowledge the Lord, our God. And let's ask God to help us to live our lives as effective witnesses for him. We're going to pray together. Heavenly Father, we worship you because your testimonies are wonderful. We long to keep your laws. The unfolding of your words gives light. And may the light of your word help us to understand your glory, making us wise for salvation. Lord, we ask that we would long for your commands in the same way that we long for a drink in the heat or food when we are hungry. God, we ask that you would turn to us and be gracious to us, as you do to all who love your name. We ask that you keep our steps steady as you've promised to do, and help us from being ruled by our own sin. Redeem us from man's oppression, that we may keep your laws and make your face shine upon us, teaching us your ways. Father, we come to you and ask that you'd give us a love for those who do not know you yet, that we may talk of your wonderful words, your mighty acts, and glorious forgiving love to us your children. Amen.